Yeah,
All
I
right.
record
Can
you.
you? Okay, perfect. Thank you. Awesome. Well, and if you could actually mute everyone, please, and then I'll unmute myself.
Okay, I did that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Can you guys all hear me? I think so.
Yes,
Well,
we
awesome.
can hear you.
Well,
Yes.
okay, awesome. Thank you very much. Well, welcome everyone to LA Salon Live. Super excited you chose to be here tonight with me. I'm Jessica Loomer, one of the hosts, and currently missing the second better half. So it's just me flying solo. So much going on to be able to kind of share and talk about for our conference and everything else kind of happening in our community. But just kind of wanted to do a quick housekeeping and recap. This call is being recorded, so just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. We will probably stay recorded for about the first hour. We do go unrecorded, so if you are new or want to ask a question, maybe not recorded or feel more comfortable that way, just kind of hang tight and you'll be able to ask kind of more kind of questions then. Just a reminder that we are not medical experts, career experts, or anything like that. So we're definitely here to be able to share advice and things like that, but kind of make sure to be conscious of your questions that you're asking and different things like that. Today we're actually going to have we have a pretty cool lineup. I'm going to start talking a little bit about some current events and things that are happening in the LA Salon Live community or LA Salon community. And then I want to kind of just open it up a little bit different than like Annie and I normally do, and open it up a little bit earlier than normal and start talking about conference. There was so much good information. Gosh, 4.5 hours of great content shared between science and community updates and the panelists that we all got to kind of hear their stories and gosh, learn so much about different people throughout our community. So I want to be able to everyone be able to jump in and kind of share their takeaways and things that they learned, things that they found super interesting. And so, yeah, so let's kind of kick it off a little bit different. But as I said, I'm super excited that you guys chose LA Salon Live tonight because there's a lot of competition. Tonight or in this week is the NFB conference. The NFB conference is all virtual this year again and totally free. So definitely check it out. There's a lot of really good sessions that are happening. And from, I mean, gosh, assistive technology to employment things that are going on. Even companies like Spectrum and things like that that actually support NFB and different things. So check all of that out. There's a lot of good content. Liz has actually posted a couple cool sessions online. And another great thing, especially as we all continue to work from home, a little bit hybrid, Zoom Techs or Freedom Scientific is actually having a 20% off sale. So check that out if you're looking to kind of look into Zoom Techs or JAWS, Fusion, things like that. 20% off is a pretty great discount. So highly encourage that if that's something that you're interested in. So I think that's pretty great. So it's NFB conference. And there was something else I was going to share that I thought was awesome. I mean, they're all obviously Stanley Cup, so another great thing. But so yeah, let's kind of kick it off and talk about conference. Gosh, I mean, especially for our Pacific people, it was definitely it was an early start to the morning, but it was great to be able to kick off with science and have so many different doctors that it was great to hear different perspectives. To be able to, I was super interested in the LH1 plus just because I don't know that much about it. And that kind of LH1 plus really intrigues me because I think it's really interesting because I have some family members that definitely show symptoms of LH1 plus, and I want to learn more of what it means and what it looks like and how do they feel and how do they best approach it. So that was really interesting for me to be able to pay attention to. Oh, one more thing about conference, speaking of kind of talking about really important data and information, all of the videos. So if you miss something, especially, or if you want to re-review, all the videos of all presentations for the entire conference, UMDF included, are all posted online already. So you can find all of the LHON videos on LHON.org. They're all YouTube, so all the platforms super accessible, which is fantastic. And then all the UMDF videos and presentations are also posted. So maybe there's something that you want to be able to revisit and kind of re-listen to again, or you missed something. So highly recommend going to check those out. I think I want to go literally rewatch the entire science one all over again. So I want to hear what you guys kind of think about science. Then we had the panelists, and gosh, it was, I mean, fantastic. I cannot sit here and like list all the people that were actually panelists at this top of my, on the top of my head, but they were great stories. You know, I think we all kind of, if you've been to conference, we all kind of talk about like the sciences, of course, super interesting. There's so many advancements and so much to really learn and take away and kind of make and make different changes of like how you, what you do and, you know, things like that. But what was super interesting and great is the panelists. You know, you are able to learn. Can you guys still hear me? Awesome.
You're kind of going in and out, Jessica. We're sort of hearing you kind of away and then back in.
Can you hear me better now?
Much better.
Okay, perfect. My AirPod died. I've been talking too much today. But the panelists were obviously a highlight. It's so great to be able to hear it from other people that have LHON and learn their story and kind of their tips and tricks, but just to kind of be able to hear their journey. And I think that's really important to be able to share. I was a panelist years ago, and it was really, it made an impact on me to be a panelist, but also for me able to be able to hear everybody else's stories and kind of hear just how they, how everybody handles it, and really kind of helps us all kind of connect and be closer together for sure. And then there was a community update, which was super exciting. And we got a chance to hear from a ton of our community leaders all throughout, from employment to different regional leaders all across the country, education, sisterhood. So great chance to be able to kind of hear about what other calls are happening in the LHON community on a consistent basis, and the leaders, and be able to put like a face with a name, but also kind of hear more of what the calls really about and if that's something that you would want to be able to get engaged in. So that's kind of a wrap up I wanted to share. It was very informative to me. Throughout the entire call, I was text messaging my mom the entire time, taking notes and telling her different things that I was learning. And so I thought that was really important. And I think it's even better that I can pass on all of these videos to my cousins, and as one of my cousins actually just got affected, and I think it's going to be a great resource to be able to, you know, for them to be able to listen on their own time. So let's change it up. Let's open up the call. If you want to take yourself off mute, it is *6. And I would love to hear what you guys thought of conference. Obviously not as great to not be in person and be able to hang out and have dinner together and things like that, but maybe did you attend the UMDF banquet and do that, or did you attend any of the UMDF sessions as well? Or what was your take? So let's hear from someone.
Well, I should presuppose, this is John Benson in East Central Washington. How do you participate in all these?
In the conference?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So conference information, it was actually, are you on the LHON mailing list?
Yeah.
Okay, so the information was passed on, there we go, on the LHON mailing list and also on Facebook, but you're actually going to be able, you can go to catch all of the videos back on LHON.org. It's on YouTube. And next time for conference, it's always like the end of June. I think I can boldly say next year we'll be in person. But it's always towards the end of June, so kind of keep your calendar marked and for that. But you'll be able to kind of check out all the videos, UMDF as well. So I think it'll be great to kind of get a full review of everything. So check that out.
Well, thank you.
Four and a half hours for just, yeah, sure.
One last thing. What's LHON Plus?
LHON Plus, that's a great question. I'm not great at this. I'm like, I'll send this question to Melissa.
Oh, okay.
John, so the, do you, hang out on the Global LHON Facebook group because I post.
No, I don't.
Okay. And so this weekend I'll probably send a link to the three videos, but they are up on that Global Facebook group right now. I posted those a few hours ago. But like Jessica said, you can go to YouTube and then there's a YouTube channel with my name. And then that's where the, for this year's, there should be a playlist for this year's conference. And that's where the three links are. And Jessica just referred to the science session and the third, I think, science speaker spoke to exactly that question. And she was talking about what LHON Plus is. Generally speaking, it's when a person has some sort of symptom, often neurological, often muscle weakness, peripheral neuropathy, things like that, that are more like a regular mitochondrial disease and not vision loss. It gets loosely lumped into the word LHON Plus, but one of the talks is all about that. So and then this weekend I'll send links, another email out with links to it if you don't find it those other ways.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome information. Thanks so much, Melissa. And thanks for asking.
Hey, Jessica, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Just a question on the, so you spoke about the Freedom Scientific discount. So yes. If you get a Zoom Text or JAWS or any of the licenses, those licenses are perpetual, right? You don't have to renew them after time, right? So it's just a one-time buy.
Yeah, there's multiple different variations that you can actually get. Yeah, you can get,
okay.
It all kind of depends on the license you choose. So you can actually pay by year, you can pay by like session or like a specific term, or it kind of depends on what you purchase.
Okay, so it all depends on like also what your state sets up for you and all of that, so.
Yeah, for sure. Zoom Text and JAWS has actually gotten much more reasonable and affordable in the last 2 years than it's ever been ever before. It was never had this kind of like subscription-based payment where I think it's now it's like $100 a year as a subscription base. Before it would just be like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Obviously first choice always is to work with your voc rehab to get that for free, or supported by them or supported by the state, depending on the services offered. And every state's super different on what they actually offer to somebody blind, visually impaired. So if you're looking to pay out of pocket for the 20%, pretty good deal.
Okay, awesome. Sorry, I just wanted to ask that.
No, great question.
It's Julie. So what I really enjoyed in the conference, I always enjoyed the panel when people speak about their experience. And the other thing is, I think one of the doctor was researching a female. So that portion, I really enjoyed that too, because since it was prior to, it's basically a lot of male who's having LHON, but we don't know much with women. We know that we're a carrier, but I found it interesting that they're starting to research for women too.
Yeah, no, agreed. I thought that was a really interesting segment. I definitely pay close attention I'm with so many of us that when I got first affected, I was just like, no, I don't. Women don't get this. I was 27, like, no, you can't get that. And they're like, oh, yes, you can. And to be able to see more science and research kind of digging into that is awesome.
Yes, I found it too. Sure.
It's John here again. What's the correlation? I've always heard it goes from mother to son. What's the percentage of women that are affected? And how is the correlation of that effect loop back to this mother to son thing I've always heard about?
Well, I can tell you that go ahead.
You go. Go ahead.
I can tell you that the correlation between mother and son or mother and child is that the gene is actually carried on the mitochondria and the mother passes that on. So So that's always, so like my mom obviously has the genes. My mom's not affected. However, I'm affected and so is my brother. So,
oh, wow. What,
and then I'll pass it on to Liz on the percentage, but yeah, it's always passed on from the mother. So, but however, the boys do not pass it on. So women being carriers, as Julia mentioned, is that because it's carried on the mitochondria.
And then picking up from where she left off, the literature has a certain percentage of male to female, and it varies based on who did what study, but most of the studies don't have a whole lot of people. And so it makes it hard to get enough women to make any sense. But a couple of years ago, Dr. Kranja and one of his medical students and I collaborated with a really large data set. We were able to demonstrate, or it did show that with a good sized data set, the female percentage is about 25%, which is more than most people think it is. I think a lot of people, you know, especially in this community, have gone through the situation where a doctor will say, well, you can't have LH when you're a woman, or you can't have LH when you're too old, or whatever they choose to say. And so this research should put that to bed. It doesn't, but more and more I'm seeing articles referencing it, and are, you know, or people who are used to saying that it's a 5-to-1 ratio male female or 4-to-1, they'll start to say it and they'll look at me and go, okay, 3-to-1, 3-to-1. Yeah, 25% female. So they're starting to catch on.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of misconceptions. You know, I just passed my first year since my diagnosis. And, you know, in the beginning, I live alone. I was, I was in a pretty bad place, but through the efforts of a lot of people, I got a bunch of help. And I spoke to a couple gentlemen on the East Coast. One was Florida, I think the other was Massachusetts. And one of them was affected in his 20s and lived with it for 50 years. And the other guy was affected in his mid-70s. And so with that perspective, you know, instead of feeling sorry for myself, I realized how fortunate I was that I was affected at 56 and not 26. So I guess in everything, we have the ability to think positively and look at silver linings, and the things aren't ever as bad or probably as good as you think.
Totally. I mean, yeah, I could find a silver lining in all of that statement. I mean, I got affected at 27 and
gosh.
And I was recently saying to somebody, I would not be where I am today if, like, there's so many things that I've learned. And, you know, it's just, you start to kind of turn back and look and be thankful for the rocky road that you had, because it kind of just, you know, it makes you stronger. You find out who your friends are, and you find things in yourself that makes you stronger and makes you a better person. And, you know, it's all of us kind of struggle with something. And so I think it's important to kind of like always look for that silver lining, especially because you hear like the science presentations and you hear all the research that's happening and what they're doing to kind of like dig into it and learn more of like what causes it. And especially like Julia said, like more information on women and things like that. Or then you hear like all the panelists on the call and different people. I mean, gosh, the whole panelists were awesome as always. And everyone was affected at different times, but it was so cool. Like some of my greatest takeaways are from the panels and the conference. So highly recommend that, just because you hear people and like how they were affected and what, like where they were in their stage of life, but also how they cope with it and maybe different things that they learned along the way. I love that. One of the things that kind of sticks home, especially because this is exactly what happened to me. Megan actually talked about how her mother-in-law bought blue glasses for her. Glasses as in drinking glasses. So she didn't knock them over. And it's so funny because I actually, one of my very first Christmas gifts was like blue drinking glasses from one of my friends. And so it was like just a thoughtful gift, something that I wouldn't knock over. And so such great silver lining to kind of think about for that. And but then, yeah, and then the kind of additional silver lining for community, you think about like, everybody that's on this call and how supportive this community is. And then I'm like, gosh, I wouldn't, if I had something, which I have, I wouldn't want to have to deal with it with anybody else, but this whole group here, and get on the call and be like, hey, what do you guys think about this? You know? So I think we're in the right, we're right where we're supposed to be. I believe that.
Well, I don't mean to hog the phone, but you know, I will say that one of the things that I look forward to and have since I started attending these is the positive nature, the upbeat attitude of those of you that basically run this call every month. And I feel like I've learned something every one of these I've participated in. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not in daily contact with my ophthalmologist, but I think if there are going to be breakthroughs, if something fantastic happens, I suspect I'll hear it first from you guys.
100%. We, jump on the Facebook group or check out the LA Twin newsletter that comes out. It's just tons of information always comes through there, especially all the calls that I mentioned in the community updates of all the calls that are throughout our entire region, or I should say country. So check those out, and that's where a lot of information is. And then Facebook as well. Liz is always posting, people are always posting current events or anything that's kind of new or hot kind of happening in our community for sure. But we got you covered.
Yeah, thank you.
Jessica, I was just going to jump in real quick with a funny thing about the glasses. I was out with one of my girlfriends the other day and she said, why are you so obsessed with having lemon in your water? And I said, so that I can tell where it is.
Oh, that's smart.
That's a good one.
So you can find it.
Yeah, on the table. Yep.
I've never heard of that, and that is genius. Because yeah, then you don't have to like look for some clear glass. You can look for the lemon. That's so smart. Oh, wow. I mean, like, and John, to the point, like, gosh, I've been affected for, I think it was 9 years, and I learned something new every day. So I'm like, that's super cool.
Yeah, it is.
I was like, awesome. Thanks, Jennifer. Yeah, so cool. Thanks, Jennifer. Who else? What other cool takeaways did you guys have from the conference?
Hey, Jessica, it's Megan again. I just have to say it was so cool to be on the panel. I mean, the day that we recorded it, we were all just in the moment. We like, you know, we totally could have taped over and re-recorded stuff, but we, you know, just spoke off the cuff like we were in a conference room at a live conference. And I have to say that probably some of us were in tears in certain moments and some of us were laughing in certain moments, but we definitely all connected to each other so closely. And I think some of us were definitely on the phone with each other right after the fact saying, cool. So good to meet you. So thank you totally. Guys. And I love to be there.
No, so glad that you are a part of the panel. Maria does such a good job with the panel and it's awesome because she chooses like such a full gamut of people in the sense that like when you're first affected or you've been affected for a couple years and just to be able to kind of hear different people's stories. It was awesome. And it's great to be able to like get to know somebody on a personal level through their story and be able to connect with them. I feel like I know you really well, Megan, and I loved your Blind Girl Kitchen comment. I was like, this is Blind Girl Kitchen. Don't move anything. And I was like, oh, yes, I 100% understand that.
Yes. Blind Girl Kitchen, Blind Girl Laundry Room. Don't touch.
Yes, don't touch. I love it.
Hi, this is Barb.
Hi, Barb.
A perspective for me, I don't know where my brother Paul and Jerry are tonight, but I got to hear my brother's story. I'm an unaffected sister, actually. And I got to hear the story from from a perspective I hadn't, his story, even though I've been there from day one. I'm down in San Diego, he's up in Dublin, but I mean, it was really interesting to hear his perspective. I got a whole new sort of view of what he went through and what Jerry, you know, as well, and the teamwork that they did. And I would share that with people who, you know, who are going through this and you know, who've reached out to me that know what my brother's going through. And just to hear his side of it was super helpful for me. And I would encourage other family members who kind of don't understand his journey now to go to the YouTube, although he's asked me not to do that. But it's nice to know that I could do that if I wanted to and sort of encapsulate, you know, what the last few years of his journey and their journey has been like. So just wanted to share that, like, that was a cool perspective from a family member, and that I'm really looking forward to the conference next year in person and meeting everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I would correct you and say your journey, because you're part of it. And, you know, I mean, that was such a cool story. Their dynamic, they're such a cool couple. So you have some awesome family members, but how wonderful that you are there listening in full support and just being part of it. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. I really want to be as involved as I can be. So I'll continue to check in as much as I can. So thanks.
Wonderful. Well, how's like perfect segue. We have so many volunteer opportunities. So if you'd want to jump in more, we have lots of opportunities if you want to get involved.
That's so cool. I will be in touch with you because I've started a business and I want to do some contributory stuff. So I will be in touch with you for sure.
Awesome. I'll do a quick recap, like no pressure, but I'll just for everyone to kind of hear about volunteer opportunities since it was like the perfect time for me to mention it. If there is someone like if you have a region that doesn't have an LA2N leader currently and you're looking to start something new and at this point, it's just a quick Zoom call or something like that. So that's kind of one of the opportunities. Other opportunities, if you wanted to join the science group or anything like that, that meets. And then also fundraising is definitely a big one as well. So those are kind of just a few of the volunteer opportunities, but also if there's a community that's currently in place and you want to jump in and help with anything. So there's regionals, there's affinity groups. So LH1 Navigating Employment, there's Sisterhood, there's Education. Now that I'm trying to think of all the titles, but spouses of those that are spouses of affected, moms and dads of kids with LH1, and kids is in air quotes because it's kids of all ages. I made the comment that I'm always a kid to my mom, so moms and dads of kids affected. There's sports, music. I'm probably getting a couple more. So if that's something that interests you, definitely check out the community video as well.
Hey, but Jessica, there's the Canada call this month as well with Dr. Sadoun on it.
Ooh, and awesome.
Lisa, that's like Dr. Sadoun's just going to be speaking in general, and then there's going to be a Q&A after, right? And it's open to us in other North American countries as well, right? Or areas as well.
It's open to anyone, anywhere. You're absolutely right. And it's on, like you said, it's on Monday, July 12th. It's at 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And he's going to do they had Dr. Patrick Uyman about a month ago, and he focused on the GenSight trial. And Dr. Sadoun's going to talk more broadly about therapeutics. It's the way I understand it. And then, yes, open for Q&A. And Dr. Karanja will guide that. And it was Dr. Karanja who hosted the Q&A that we did for the science call for our conference. And he's good. He's great too. So it's a great way to spend some time if you're available on July 12th. It will be recorded, but if you have questions and would want to ask Dr. Sadoun or Dr. Karanja a question, that's a great opportunity.
How do we participate in that?
There's a link. Well, are you on Facebook? Because again, these things are all posted in the Facebook group, and I'll be putting it in the I think I put it in the last actually.
Yeah, let's say you put it in your email.
And I was just checking my database, and you do receive it and you do open it. So you might want to go back to the July email, and you should find the link right there.
I still have it. Okay. Thank you.
You do. Mm-hmm.
Just one last question. I apologize for Lisa. Are there statistics enough yet to establish a way to predict whether my brother will be affected about this the way I am?
So the simple answer to your question is no.
Okay.
The more complicated answer to your question is that if you get a chance to watch the first of the four science talks. The presenter focused in on that very question. She's in Australia. She's been part of a team that's been striving to study all of the pedigrees of LH1 families in Australia for several decades now.
Wow.
And so they have data on just under 100 large families, and they're making the case that there are percentages tossed out generally in a lot of places. And she basically makes the strong case that the percentages that people generally hear are not accurate. And I agree with her. I checked backwards into what she was saying, and I believe her 100%. The what's generally discussed is 50% male and 10 or 15% female. And that's just too high. It's not right. And she makes a very strong case for the why. So I would encourage you to watch it. And then now what the right number is, I don't know that they've sorted that out, and that'll have to get figured out. But her basic takeaway is it really varies by family. And so they have certain pedigrees where there's really high penetrance, and then there's other families where there's very low penetrance. Now, then the question is, well, your question is, but why? What's my family and how would I know? And they've tried to figure it out, and they don't have the answer yet. If you're in Australia, they could tell you, well, you're on this family or that family, and that family has this percentage and this family has this percentage. And they could tell you more or less by extended family. But at the end of the day, if you carry it, you're at risk. And if your risk is 10% or 90%, you're at risk. So at some point, how much does that matter? The reality is, act as if you're at risk, but don't, you know, dwell on it. Live your life, but be aware. That's kind of the best approach, I think.
Thank you.
Since you're talking about that, Lisa, I just want to share an experience that last week I had with my oldest, who was not affected, and my youngest is. So my oldest last week went to the optometrist to just pass a regular exam. And she's having a little bit of anxiety because she's concerned to have it. And me, I wish so much that the optometrist would be more educated on the subject, because just to reassure her, and it's okay, but she just told her, your sister was really not lucky to have that. So your chance that for you to have it are really low. And me, from my experience, I was not comfortable with that because I'm trying to educate my daughters to be careful with the fire and everything. But you know, when you're 22, you want to live your life to the fullest. And when an expert give you that kind of advice, it puts you in a situation between your parent and the expert. So I wish so much that the optometrist would be more educated in that field regarding LHON, because I don't agree with what you said. It's not just luck. It's something that we don't know that triggered the disease.
Yeah, I know it's super hard. I can actually definitely empathize with you, because I tell this to my family all the time that carries the gene, that yes, you carry the gene, but be careful, you know, like be careful, be aware of what you do, and stay away from smoke and like things like that. And that's actually, not to plug the science video again, but that's actually talked about in the science presentation. And I thought that was really important. And what I'm going to do with my family is actually send it to them and just send it to them. And so they can kind of hear it from the doctors. And it's not just me saying, hey, don't be around smoke, or it's not like, you know, different things that we always kind of say to like be careful for triggers. I think it's just better coming from a doctor versus them hearing it from me. So my plan is to actually send them the video and tell them to check it out. So maybe that will help with your daughter as well.
Yes. Yes. I think I would do that. But at the same time, you know, it gives her a break with the anxiety of having it. So
totally. Yeah. No, it's scary for sure. I totally understand.
I wonder how many people, because I had no idea this was in my system, or I wouldn't have smoked 4 to 5 cigars a week with my shot of scotch. So, but there's no point in feeling guilty or whatever. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life,
no.
But I used to smoke a lot of cigars. But you know, this must be a total crapshoot. How many people there are out there that know for one reason or another that this gene is in their system and can at least try to avoid triggering it versus those of us that yeah. didn't know and therefore didn't do anything to avoid triggering it.
Yeah, I mean, I would look to science at that. But I mean, to that point, it's also there's so much to still learn about LH2N. So I'm thankful for the researchers that are doing more information to kind of dig into triggers and things like that. I mean, I knew I was a carrier at age 7, air quotes, whatever that means. But what does that mean?
Wow,
and
really?
When did I kind of know? Yeah, because my brother was affected at 6. So I knew something. I didn't know what LH1, I didn't know, I wasn't super educated. So it's just important to get out there, get educated. But like, you know, I would never say like woulda, coulda, shoulda. But yeah, I mean, I know, and I actually have never smoked a day in my life. So, but there's other things and maybe it's just what happens. And that's when you kind of turn to silver lining, right?
I agree, well, Jessica. And I'm just so excited for like us to gather more data as the group that we are and
yeah.
give that to the professionals. So that we can understand what is actually happening and what's going on, because that's all that we can do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just going to add real quick. I mean, you know, I totally get like the smoking, drinking, whatever bad stuff we may have done as adults. But when I started learning that people were getting it at age 6, I'm thinking they're probably not smoking cigars every week and drinking scotch. So. But that, you know, it kind of took away some of my guilt of like, how did I cause this for myself? And I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I like to drink wine occasionally and I had a couple cigarettes in college, but I don't think that was it.
Well, you know, I really love the input that we get from all of the people, and especially the, you know, the educated by experience people like Lissa and the others around her. And I don't mean to be Debbie Downer here, but it's a seriously curious interest. Why is as much effort being put into a disease that affects so little people?
Some are really important people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one answer. But I think the other answer is because I think there's a belief that that LH1 is a small piece, but as you know, the conference was part of the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation's broader conference. So LH1 is one disease, but it's a mitochondrial disease. So things that are done to learn about what's happening with us could have implications for the entire mitochondrial disease community. And I'll reverse that and say research that's being done in the other mitochondrial diseases could translate back and help us too. So wow. That makes for a larger pot. And then there's also the belief that says, okay, it is a, there are aspects of it that could have implications for broader diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And if they can solve it in a small group like us, and then it might have implications for larger diseases like that. And another piece of it is because so much of what affects our community is the optic nerve, which is the central nervous system, and the eyes are the end of the central nervous system, and they come to the outside of the body. So researchers can study us through the eyes, which is like not like the heart or the liver or something you have to get inside the body. You can study us from outside the body, and there's two eyes, so you can treat one, not the other. So there's a whole lot of reasons that we've had more interest from researchers than you would think based on our size. We are also fortunate that there have been some researchers who have devoted their careers to it. So people like Dr. Nancy Newman and Dr. Alfredo Sadoun and some others who are highly respected have continued to research and talk about this disease year after year after year. And so then when people in the pharmaceutical arena are interested in the disease, they've gone to them. And then another thing that's been really, really important is that this community has built up. And so when people have said they want to do a trial, we've had people that have stepped up and said, I'll participate. And so it kind of one begets the other, right? Because so many people have stepped up and participated in the trials, research, other companies go, well, shoot, if I can, with rare diseases, it's often the problem that they can't fill the trials. But we've had a bunch of people who've been super willing to participate, and that plays a big role in it. So there's a lot of factors.
I'm super willing.
Well, and I would just add to that from like the legal perspective. I know, Lissa, I think you were on that SSDI the other night. But anyway, but for whatever reason, you know, blind people tend to have just a greater acknowledgement in the disability community. And, you know, there are statutes that say specifically blind and then like all other disabilities. And I've asked several other attorneys like why that would be. And honestly, not to joke about it, but they say we just have better lobbyists. So, but I think because of that, like, I think it's also that it's a, you know, not just LHON, but blindness in general, people feel like it's something that could happen to them at any time for any reason. So, which is a good thing for us because, you know, we're obviously benefiting a lot from that. And we're obviously reaching out more as a general community to get better benefits. But yeah, that certainly plays into it as well.
Hey. Picking up on what Jennifer said, I do want to reiterate that I personally was really excited to sit in on that NFB session that she referenced, because it's been a dozen years that I've been curious about SSDI and SSI, and I'm still aware that there are huge gaps in my understanding of how it works. And I know people in this community who've had things happen that were unexpected and not necessarily in a good way. And so I feel like the more this community understands the system, the better off we are. And I've tried over the years to find a good resource. And I feel like the person who gave that talk is a good resource. So I feel like I'm assuming and hoping that that talk was recorded and will become available. But it's just good to know that if you're trying to learn more about SSDI and SSI, there is a resource at NFB that's available to us for questions going forward. So just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, she was great.
Hey, I meant to get to that conference yesterday, but I just didn't have time to get to the SSID.
Yeah. Oh, there's someone kind of in the background still. I think they just said something was super, which is fantastic. But if you are in a busy area, if you don't mind muting, that'd be great. And the last person that just said something, I actually couldn't hear you.
Maybe something else. I was trying to make to that meeting with Lisa yesterday, but I just ran out of time yesterday to the SSID and stuff.
Those of you that have the most experience in this community, has anyone ever been cured or gotten their vision back after being diagnosed?
So it's a hard question, John. I mean, most people When they ask that question, they're asking, did you go from whatever vision loss you had to back the way you were before you'd ever heard of LHON? And that's incredibly rare. There's usually some amount of vision loss, if not a lot. And then the factors that seem to impact it are those, like somebody was mentioning earlier, you know, is being affected older or younger a good thing or a bad thing? Generally speaking, they find that those who are affected in childhood tend to have better visual outcomes than those who are affected older. So the bad news is you're affected younger, but the good news is you can adapt to it and the resources are there for it. And your outcome tends to be better, maybe not perfect, but better. And then there's a lot to do by the mutation. The 1444 mutation and some of the rare ones tend to have better outcomes. Do they get back to perfect? No, usually not, but better. Yeah. So it's a complicated, it's not a yes, no question. It's kind of complicated.
Can I ask a question of Lisa? This is Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
I remember you talking about your daughter losing her sight after there was a lot of fires near where she lived. We are starting to get smoke in Idaho from California and from Canada. And I'm wondering if there's any thing that might indicate that wearing an N95 mask if you're outside when there's smoke would be beneficial.
The LHON experts that I've heard from have said yes. That an N95 mask is a good step in the right direction. Yes. Mm-hmm. If you have to be outside, yes, that's what they've said. If you can be indoors with the windows shut and have an air purifier, Patrick, if you're still on the call, you may remember what's that kind of purifier they said we should have.
There's a molecule.
Yeah, there's some name for it. Staying indoors and running an air purifier to get stuff out of the air is a good thing too. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hey, Lisa, is there any thought of doing any groups of the certain trials? And you don't have to say yes or no now, just to kind of speak of experiences within those trials.
I mean, the simple answer is no, that hasn't been discussed. And the equally simple answer is kind of, somebody said, can I make a list of what volunteer opportunities there are? And the answer is the opportunities are endless. Anybody who wants to, most everything that's happening in this community is because someone said, I wish, can we do this? And the answer, sure. You want to? You want to do it alone or you want to find someone to help you? Anything that anyone, including that, thinks would be a good, fun idea, let's talk about it. And fun's the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Valuable or something they want to put time into. Yeah, shoot me an email and let's set up a time to chat, brainstorm, and figure it out. Okay, so Jessica, I'm getting somebody's entering the waiting room, your co-host. I'll let him in, but Jessica, I'm going to let you pick up the conversation. Okay. Here you go, Jessica. Hold on.
All right. And okay, we're going to do a 5-second countdown, and then we're going
to
hear.
Wait a minute. Connecting and hold on. Not there yet. I'm waiting to see. Tell us what we're going to do.
Oh, and let's do a 5-second countdown, and
you
then
go.
We'll cheer. Ready? Yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! Yeah, there we go. welcome, Andy.
Let me guess, he didn't hear it.
Andy, are you there?
I'm hoping it's the right Andy. It'd be a different Andy.
That's awesome. Andy? New Andy?
Maybe it's a different Andy. Okay. Carry on, Jessica. Sorry.
All right. Well, anyways. Well, Andy, well, we love all people named Andy, so welcome in.
It's the correct Andy, and I'm sorry I'm late. I had to unmute. Apologies all.
You're the correct Andy.
This is Andy Marks.
The newly engaged Andy Marks.
Correct. Calling from.
Congratulations.
Thank you all very much. I'm in Florida this time, right, by the way.
I was like, oh, just bouncing all around. I'm like, all right. I'm like, Stanley, we're gonna do it one more time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you all.
Congratulations.
Thank you all very much.
Tell us whatever you want to tell us.
Who all do we have here? Is it a big crowd?
We have a fantastic crowd tonight.
A crowd of 32 very chatty folks, yes.
Wonderful. Well, yes, I'm lucky enough to get engaged in Orlando on the 26th, which is, I mean, a while ago at this point, almost 2 weeks ago. But we've been celebrating in Orlando and now in the Keys, avoided a hurricane. But we're very happy and I'm unable to make most of LHO in live tonight. So I'm very sorry, but I'm looking forward to listening to the recording at some point.
Wonderful. We're just kind of talking about all the highlights from conference, the different things that were our favorite takeaways between the science sessions and the panelists and then the community updates. So we're kind of sharing, and we're talking about just like the power of our community and how it's been kind of so great to have great connections and be able to have people to call out and ask questions for and things like that. So welcome in. As part of the community, we're so excited to have you.
Thank you very much. This community means the world to me. I think you all know that, but I'll say it again.
You want to tell us a little engagement story and like to top off our celebration of the call?
Sure. I'll give you all a little story. I know it will bore a couple of you, but Megan, my now fiance, had planned a trip with her best friend to Orlando. And this was in the works several trips prior to this, but this time it actually panned out where she was coming to Orlando with her friend and for a baby shower at the time. And we're there a couple days before they checked into their hotel. And when they checked in, I was there. And for any of you who are connected with me on any social media platform, you can see a video of how things went from there. But we got engaged there in the hotel. And from there, I got to kind of spoil the girls' trip the rest of the week and celebrate there, and we've been in the Keys since then, so continuing celebrations. But everything went well there in Orlando. We actually met in Orlando 8 years ago, so several of you have met Megan because she's been around LHON conferences before.
Oh, that's awesome. And I have to share a full audio description of the video, is that it is like you watch it multiple times in a row. The first time you're like crying, the second time you're crying, the third time you're crying, by like the fifth time you're like, oh my god, that was the greatest video. They waltzed in, Annie kind of surprised her, gets down on one knee, proposes, and then they do this like sweet awesome dance because they're fantastic dance partners. So that's full audio description from a friend to the rest of the community for anyone that missed it.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. Yes, definitely have to watch it. Now, Andy, what would you have done if she said no?
that would be the sixth time crying.
No!
Yeah, exactly. we had already started planning a wedding, so I was pretty confident at that point.
I knew she'd say yes.
Congratulations, Andy.
Thank you all. Much appreciated. Really appreciate it.
And Andy, we went rogue while you were gone. We skipped all topics and we went straight to conference. So I
loved
mean,
it. I love every change
I was like,
up to LHO.
You're needed. Yeah, we just went rogue. So anybody else have anything else they would like to share about conference or anyone else want to cheer for Andy or anything like that?
Does she know you have LHON? Just kidding.
It was good.
Oh, that was good. We can go into a full dating segment next because they met and you were affected, right, Amy?
Yeah. So my dad shares it better on his caring bridge than I can ever. But I met Megan right as I was losing my vision. She's not always a centerpiece of my LHON story, but in lots of ways she is, even when it's not stated that way. We went on our first date in December, but I had my first appointment with an optometrist that September. So on our first date, I was unsure what I had, but I was wearing glasses that made one of my eyes look very big. And she commented on that and was not sure what she was getting herself into. But on our third date, prior to our third date, I gave her a call and said, "Hey, so I'm not driving right now. I hope you don't mind driving this date." And she's been driving the past 8 years. So I'm very lucky that she hung around. I know many people wouldn't, but at the same time, we are super, super happy. And yeah, she went through all of that stuff at the very beginning with me. I was officially diagnosed with LHON the February. So a couple months after I met Megan.
God bless both of you.
Yeah. Sounds like awesome. You got a good one.
Yeah, I know. I was going to roll into favorite dating stories was going to be my next topic to roll into from favorite dating stories. Well, with LHON slash in a relationship stories. So I thought that would be, you know, a fun topic, but conference was sounded better. Because I could go for hours on funny dating stories, but
do any of you know couples where both are affected by LHON?
I mean, the closest thing I can come up with is a carrier and affected, and they may be on the call. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Not sure of anyone, but that sounds awesome.
Just curious.
Well, awesome. Well, no, this has been a great call. Let's, if you don't mind, if we can be unrecorded. It is top of the hour. So normally Andy keeps us on track. So I'm like, check me out. But if you don't mind, stop recording. I do want to kind of take this time. If there's especially anybody that's new to the call that wants to chirp up and say hi, you have a whole audience of people from affected for a few months to affected for many, many years. So if there's any questions or anything that we can help with, or just, I mean, gosh, anyone that this is like the perfect time to be able to have a fantastic resource. So I'll take that time to stop recording.